the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. Good to see you here. Please take an opportunity to look over the announcements in the bulletin. Tonight's our Thanksgiving dinner. If you haven't signed to join us with that yet, you please sign the list on the bulletin board. We just need to know for setting up tables. But we have a great time, great fellowship together, and would really encourage you to join us in that fellowship time tonight. Please do look at the other announcements in your bulletin if you would. Christmas card box, we're going to do that again this year. That begins December 4th, so you can read over that. We need you here for the Living Christmas Tree practices. It's going to be the program before you know it. And if you signed up, we really need you here for the practices. Please notice the youth are going to be collecting toys. That's in the bulletin, so please read over that. This isn't in the bulletin, but we do need your help with our Caring Hands food ministry. We've been very fortunate over the years that they would deliver our food for us for about $20. So we get 7,500 pounds of food, and they deliver it for $20. We expected to get a raise in that with the gas prices and things to go up. But Second Harvest was purchased by, is it Feeding America? Feeding America. And they raised the price. We get about 7,500 pounds of food, and they raised the price to deliver to five cents a pound, which means to get our food delivered would be $375 each time. So we can pick our food up, but we need a box truck or something to be able to pick our food up, because that's over $4,000 a year that we would not be able to use to feed people, just delivering our food. So if any of you know anybody or you know something, way we can do that, this is... We usually pick the food up or have the food delivered the first Wednesday of every month. Sometimes it's the second Wednesday, how things work out, but it's just one time a month. So if any of you know anybody who might be able to help us with that, please let me know. Please look over your prayer list if you would, and add to your prayer list Carol Grove. Carol has COVID, so please keep her in your prayers. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. The author of Roots, Alex Haley, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture, and you've seen this one, of a turtle sitting on a fence post. And when asked why he had it there, he said this. He said, "Every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and I think how wonderful they are, and I begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of that fence post and remember that he did not get there on his own. He needed help." And this morning, we're going to look at a psalm, Psalm 103, verse 2. And we're going to do our best to memorize, it's a short verse, do our best to memorize this psalm so we can kind of see it in our mind's eyes. And every time we think of this psalm, it's going to help us to realize that the blessings that we have, that the benefits that we have, we don't simply have because of our own hands, but because of the hand of God. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, can you help me there, Bridget? Psalm 103, verse 2, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Say that with me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is the verse that we want to memorize today. And you know, sometimes memorizing verses, one of the hardest things is through, how does it start? How does the verse start? So we're going to use some hand motions that might help us here. And it always helps me. So it begins, praise the Lord. So we'll put our hands up like this, praise the Lord. So when you're thinking of this, what is this verse? Oh, I can't remember how it starts. Put your hands up and you'll remember, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. Then tap yourself on the chest, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then do this. Yeah. And forget not, and put your hands like this, all his benefits. So that's pretty easy. Let's try it together. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. And that's the verse we want to memorize. And I'm going to ask you to do some things with that verse from now to the end of the year. So if you don't have it memorized by the time you leave this morning, it's something that you can work on a little bit. September 1st, 1923, 2 minutes before noon, an earthquake hit Japan. The New York Tribune called the earthquake undoubtedly the greatest disaster in recorded time. The New York Times described the havoc as covering 45,000 square miles. Others reported that virtually every building in Yokohama was destroyed. And in Tokyo, the 5 million inhabitants, their buildings were just shattered. In Tokyo, more than 40,000 people sought safety in an open park known as the Military Clothing Depot. Nearby buildings to the park, because of the earthquake, caught on fire, launching somehow a firestorm. It was like a hurricane of fire that went through the park, and in just moments, 38,000 people died. Along with the destruction and the fire, tsunamis hit. A joint survey was made by Calvin Coolidge and the Red Cross, estimated about 200,000 people had died. Over 2,500,000 people were homeless. Japan was overcome by despair and disease. Then help came. America went to help Japan. Food, clothing, medical supplies, volunteers came by the shipload. The Red Cross collected over $12 million. Now you hear $12 million today. It doesn't sound, but in 1923, that was really, really a lot of money. Those who lived through the awful earthquake tremors and giant waves and the blazing fires, they thought they would perish, now from starvation, no place to stay. But they didn't perish. Why? Because America remembered their need, and America went and helped. The Japanese were grateful. They even put their appreciation in writing. Walter Kerman, a correspondent with International News Service, recalls their words, "Japan will never forget." But Japan did forget. They forgot the American ships of mercy, the food, the clothing, the medicine, the volunteers, the money, were all forgotten. Just 18 years later, December 7, 1941, Japanese airplanes brought death and destruction to Pearl Harbor, and the rising sun proclaimed that America would be brought to her knees and beg for mercy. But the Japanese were not the only people to forget mercies. In Jeremiah 2:32, God said, "My people have forgotten me days without number." Can you imagine that? Forgotten God days? Now, you can understand. You have a day that's pretty busy. You get doing things. And you forget about God even working in your life. Oh, maybe that could happen for a day. But his people, his own people, forgot him for days without number. And of course, you remember the story of the 10 lepers. 10 men who had leprosy approached Jesus and asked for pity. And Jesus told them to go to present themselves to the priest. And before they got there, they were all healed of the leprosy. But only one out of the 10 came back to say thank you to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Where are all the other nine?" 9 out of 10 were ungrateful. That shouldn't be. The psalmist, you see, knew that we have this tendency to forget. So he reminds us, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Say that with me again. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the people in this world. If you have money in the bank, just money in the bank, you don't have to have a lot, and you have some money in your wallet, and you have that little dish where you keep the spare change, if that's the case, you are wealthier. You're in the top 8% of the wealthiest people in the world. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 1 million people who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, or loneliness of imprisonment, or the agony of torture, or the pains of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in this world. If you can attend church without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, You are more blessed than 3 billion people in this world. So say it with me again. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Somebody wrote, I am thankful for the teenager who is not doing dishes but is watching TV, because that means he is at home and not on the streets. I am thankful for the taxes I pay, because that means I am employed. I am thankful for the mess to clean up after a party, because that means I am surrounded by friends. I am thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because that means I have plenty of food to eat. I am thankful for the lawn that needs mowing and the windows that need cleaning and the gutters that need fixing, because that means I have a home. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about the government, because that means we have free speech. I'm thankful for the parking space I found at the very end of the parking lot, because that means I'm able to walk, and it means I have transportation. And I'm thankful for my huge heating bill. We're going to have those this year, aren't we? I'm thankful for my huge heating bill because it means I am warm. Someone else wrote, be thankful that you don't already have everything you want. If you did, what would you look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, because this gives you an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you the opportunity for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build strength and character. Be thankful even for your mistakes, because they will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you've made a difference. So say it with me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Sue Monk Kidd is one of my favorite authors in the Guidepost. She writes a number of things for Guidepost. And a few years ago, she wrote an article that I kept about Thanksgiving. She was going to have Thanksgiving at her house. Usually her mother had Thanksgiving. This was going to be the first year. She's going to have this big feast at her house. She gathered a list called the Busy Woman's Thanksgiving Checkoff List, so she could check everything off and make sure she was ready for this event. But she had hardly checked anything off. And months earlier, she and her husband had volunteered to go from South Carolina to Georgia to Atlanta to a homeless shelter they knew that was run by a friend. And they went there to help serve some meals just before Thanksgiving. Well, Sue was upset because she had so much to do, but she went. And they got to the shelter. And as soon as they walked in, they saw all these rows of cots. And Sue noticed this man with a big smile on his face, with a very bright green suit and a pink shirt and missing a few teeth, walking around from cot to cot. And he was saying to people, will you look at my blue book? He had a blue book. Will you look at my blue book? But very few people would even look at his book. Now, the resident manager told Sue that this man's name was James, and James was a very kind-hearted man. He could not read. He could not write. And he had some precious possessions in the book that he'd like to show people. Well, they served the meal, and after the meal was served, Sue decided to go out in the lobby and take a break. And when she went out there, James was sitting on the couch, and James asked Sue to come over and sit next to her. Well, she was hesitant, but she went over and she sat next to him, and he pulled out his book and said, would you look through my book? And in the book, he had some things. Just folded in the book, he had a napkin, and he had a feather, and he also had a church bulletin, and a faded birthday card, and a pocket calendar. And James went on to explain the significance of each one of these items to Sue. The napkin, he had eaten at a restaurant. It was the best food he ever had, and he kept the napkin. It had the name of the restaurant on it. And then the feather, he went to Piedmont Park, and he would sit there in the afternoon with the birds, and he found this bluebird feather, and he liked to have that. A church bulletin was from a little mission church that he went to, and they welcome him. They make him feel like he belongs. And then one day on his birthday, he found this birthday card on his bed, and he's kept it. And then last Christmas, a store owner gave him this little a pocket calendar, and all these things were very precious to him. And then as she looked through the book, there were different signatures, and he said these were autographs of his friends who did some kindness to him, some act of kindness, showed him some act of kindness. And after looking all those things over, James said to her, he said, "I would sure like to have a home and a family." But staring down between everything he had there, he said, "But still, as you can see, I have a lot to be thankful for." And Sue heard that, and she thought about that busy woman's Thanksgiving list, that checklist. And she realized that what she should be doing is not checking off those listed chores, but checking off the blessings that she had. We ought to be doing the same thing, checking off the blessings that we have. Say it again with me. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. In his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, John Ortberg, he writes about a friend, Chuck, who had cancer. And he had been getting treatment for cancer for 2 years. But then he called John one evening and he said, "I got my results today. And the results say that my cancer is back and it's really bad. And the doctor said I don't have much time." And John prayed with him and they wept together on the phone. And John went to bed that night. He said he was thinking, he could not believe this. All the treatment, things were going so well. How could this be? 6:30 in the morning, Chuck calls him again. And he says, "John, listen, I got good news. They gave me the wrong results. Somebody messed up. They gave me the results of someone who had cancer but had never had any type of treatment done. And I got my results and I'm cancer free." And he was so excited. He said he was filled with gratitude, thanksgiving like he had never been filled before. He said he could not stop touching and hugging his kids and his wife. Things that had bothered him before now faded into utter insignificance. He was going to live. And he did not know that just intellectually, but actually experienced the truth that life is a gift. We don't earn it. We can't control it. We can't take a moment of it for granted. Every tick of the clock is a gift of God to us. Say it with me again. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When a little son returned home from a birthday party, his mother asked, "Now, Bobby, you thanked Susie's mother, did you not? You thanked her for the birthday party." And he said, "Well, I was going to, Mom, but the girl in front of me said thank you, and Susie's mother said don't mention it, so I didn't." Well, God has never said don't mention it when it comes to the blessings that he's given to us. In fact, quite the opposite is true. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." Notice, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Colossians we read, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with," again, gratitude in your hearts to God. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him." So three times in these few verses, three times we see that we are to be thankful. We are to give thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reminds us, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, please don't misunderstand that verse. God is not saying give thanks for everything that happens. He's not saying that. He's not saying give God thanks for bad things. That would be an affront to God. He would not want that. But what he is saying, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we can find a reason to give thanks. So we're grieving over the death of a loved one. We're not thankful that the person has died, but we're thankful that we knew them. We're thankful that we have a God who will comfort us. We're thankful that we have memories, and we're certainly thankful that they are in heaven and we will see them again. We might not thank God for an illness, but we can certainly thank God for medicine, and we can thank God for a doctor's. We might not thank God for an injury, but we thank God for the strength to go on. A while back, in Dear Abby, two different letters were sent in. The first one by a 15-year-old girl, and the second one by a 13-year-old girl, in response to what the 15-year-old girl had written. Here's the first one. Dear Abby, happiness is knowing that your parents won't yell at you and ground you when you come home a little late. Happiness is having your own bedroom. Happiness is getting the telephone call you've been praying for. Happiness is something I don't have. Signed, unhappy and ungrateful. And then the letter from the 13-year-old. Dear Abby, happiness is being able to walk. Happiness is being able to talk. Happiness is being able to see. Happiness is being able to hear. Unhappiness is reading a letter from a 15-year-old who can do all those things and still says she is unhappy. I can talk, I can see, I can hear, but I can't walk. Signed, a 13-year-old who is happy and grateful. Real thanksgiving is a declaration of faith in God, one who is bigger than our circumstances. Frances Crosby was born in 1820. She lived to be 95 years old. She wrote about 8,000 hymns in her lifetime, which is amazing because she did not start writing these hymns until she was 44 years old. Now, that's impressive enough, but what's even more remarkable, at the age of 6 weeks, because of a problem with the medical treatment, she became blind. So she was blind at 6 weeks old. However, she overcame that challenge, and she praised God in the midst of her situation. She even came to the place where she thanked God for her blindness because it resulted in making her spiritual eyesight, she said, better. Now, we're familiar with some of her hymns. She wrote, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. The chorus goes like this, This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And another hymn, To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So even in this situation she was in, she could find reasons to praise God, give him thanks. But at the age of 8, she wrote this, 8 years old. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Say it again with me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forgetting to thank God, forgetting his blessings, is dangerous living. Paul names ingratitude as the root of mankind's self-destruction. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says, For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, now listen, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. One of the watchwords in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is remember. And Moses is reminding the Israelites what God had done for them, and he uses the word over and over again, remember, remember, remember. Let me sum up the chapter in just a few words. Moses is saying, don't forget that every blessing you have comes from God. Don't forget, because forgetfulness leads to indifference, and indifference leads to apostasy, and apostasy leads to disaster. So let's do what the psalmist says. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I want to ask you to do something between now and the end of the year. It's really simple. It's not hard. I want you, of course, to have this verse memorized. And then every morning when you get up, say the verse. And then at lunch and at supper time, say the verse. And then before you go to bed, say the verse. So you're memorizing the verse and you're repeating it 4 times. From now through the end of the year, 4 times a day. And then what I would like you to do is get a little notebook and just write down each day one thing you were thankful for. It has to be a different thing each day. Don't wake up every morning and say, I thank you, God, the sun came up. And the next day, I'm thank you, God, the sun. Something different every day. For instance, Sarah might say, "Dear God, I thank you for my husband, Bob." And then the next day, she has to make it different. So she could say, "I'm thank you for my husband, Bob, who is so considerate." And the next day, she could say, "I'm thank you for my husband, Bob, who looks so much like Tom Selleck." But you get the point. Something different every day. Now, that's just 42 things. Now, you could do 42 things in one day, could you not? But every day, think about it and write that thing down you're most thankful for each day. So every day, you're going to say this memory verse four times, and then you're going to write down something you're thankful for. Just for 42 days from now to the end of the year, just reminding you to be thankful. Because, you know, at this time of the year, even though it's Christmas time, it gets so hectic. Sometimes we're not as thankful and grateful for the things that we do have. So it's important for us to focus on that and be thankful to our God. So let's say it one more time. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If you're here this morning and you need to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we always give that opportunity. The Bible says to become a Christian, we need to accept that wonderful gift that God gave us, his Son. And that as we accept that gift, we need to change our ways. We're going to live the way he wants us to live. And then we're going to be born into his family. And the Bible says we do that by being baptized into Christ. You see, God wants us to know. He wants to be able to pinpoint, when was I born into the family? When did I accept Christ? And we do that when we are baptized into him. God wants us to know when we became part of his family. So if you need to make that decision to be baptized into Christ, if you come forward, we'll take your confession and we'll baptize you in a little bit. Not with everybody present, because with the tree we have a little things we have to move. But that's so important. We still want you to do it, and we can move the things and we can baptize you into Christ today. Showing God how thankful you are for the Son that he gave. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.